why he's doing it, what he just might do next. And in the troubled area of Kashmir, a subject, an area, a people I have known well and worked closely with for more than 30 years. The situation has moved from bad to very much worse, virtually now uncontrollable. If I were to tell you that Kashmir is the place where the biggest, most brutal military occupation in the whole world is in place, you might find it difficult to believe. That's because Kashmir hardly ever gets reported in any depth in the Western media and in the British media, which is particularly peculiar because the Kashmir disaster is the direct responsibility of British imperial rule in India. Essentially, what happened was this. The different states and principalities within what was British India were given the right to choose whether or not they wanted to go with India or with the new Islamic Republic of Pakistan. But the people of Kashmir were never given that choice. And as late as the 1950s, the United Nations Security Council unanimously passed a resolution demanding a plebiscite. That's a vote, a referendum, an X on a ballot paper for the people of Kashmir so that they could decide with whom they wanted to live. That United Nations Security Council resolution has never been implemented, even though no less than Mr. Nehru himself, the then Indian Prime Minister, gave a solemn and binding undertaking to the United Nations that he would hold that plebiscite. The people of Kashmir have lived under the jackboot of 600,000 Indian occupation soldiers all of this time. Periodically, they erupt in a kind of intifada. Scores of thousands of people have been killed. Scores of thousands have been cast into the dungeons. Rape has been used as a weapon of occupation, and the people have had enough. And guess what? The Indian government has just announced that it's had enough of us. Because Press TV is one of the only television stations in the world that is telling the truth about Kashmir, sending pictures, showing pictures and reports constantly about what's happening there, the Indian government has shut down Press TV in Kashmir. But guess what? New Delhi, there's plenty of people in occupied Kashmir watching this right now. And speaking of the British, imperial rule, and people not being given their rights to self-determination, the farcical talks which kicked off in Washington between what they call the Israeli regime and what they call the Palestine National Authority moved to Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt and immediately sank without trace. The main reason is that what they call Israel has refused to continue the moratorium on the building of some of the ever-increasing illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank. As a matter of fact, they're planning to build tens of thousands of more illegal settlement homes on Palestinian land. Just as I predicted here last week, these talks are doomed. Martin in London wants to have a word about them. Let's see if he agrees with me. Martin, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi.
You took the words out of my mouth, actually.
Okay, go on.
I mean, it is a complete farce, absolutely, because at the end of the day, you see it every so often, they always do these peace talks, but the actual fact that the settlements that they were constructing has already gone through, and more have been developed. And this Abbas, I mean, all due respect to him, he's not an elected member anymore. His presidency is finished. So he shouldn't be residing.
It's 2 years finished. He hasn't been the president of Palestine for 2 years.
That's it. They say they want to impose democracy around the world, yet Hamas was democratically elected. And because they were sound people who actually wanted change for the Palestinians, they were no good. So they were brushed off and they made up to be terrorists. People need to wake up and just see this. It's a complete farce, and I can't understand why, all these Palestinians in West Bank, why can't they stand up? like the Gazans have.
Well, of course they are. The Palestinian people under occupation in the West Bank and in Jerusalem are constantly struggling against that occupation. We just don't hear.
The ones that are in charge that are in the pockets of the Israelis.
Well, of course there are some who are co-opted and into colluding with the corrupt relationship that exists between principally the United States, but also Britain and other members of the Quartet and the so-called Palestine National Authority and Israel. That's true. But the ordinary Palestinian in the camps, in the towns and cities in the West Bank continue to resist. I can assure you of that. Let me just ask you this. It's beginning to occur to me that maybe these peace talks are a sort of diversion, just like the roadmap was a diversion from the attack on Iraq.
I mean, you only need to see how much land they've got remaining, you know, and how much land that they've gained. They're never going to give Palestine, never, ever, since I'm only 32, I will never see it in my lifetime, because the Palestinian land is like a buffer zone between the Israelis and the Arab nations that are there. Do you think that the Israelis are going to want another army on their doorstep? No way. They would never have that.
Don't be too pessimistic, Martin. I wish I was 32, but if I was 32, I think I'd be hoping and, in fact, predicting that Palestine will be free in my lifetime. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Jimmy in Glasgow on the same subject. Jimmy, welcome to the show, my friend.
I've got 2 points for you, George, if you'll allow me.
Yes.
The first is these would-be peace talks. Anyone with any a crumb of sense knows that there's nothing going to come out of this. It's a front by the Americans to look as though they're doing something, and the Israelis are going to give the Palestinians absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. They're going to take more off them than they're going to give them. And my second point, George, is about the poor people of Pakistan. I've watched now for the last 6-8 weeks the trouble that they've gone through with floods, etc. And then you find out that they're getting blown up by, I can't remember the name of the people who's blown them up.
The Pakistan Taliban, you mean?
Taliban. George, they're putting explosive belts on young people and sending them out with the promise of heaven, etc. Surely, if that was the case, they'd be the first in line to go to heaven. And these people, they've really brought their name down. Some good they were doing, I think.
I'll tell you what, Jimmy, there's two sets of people blowing up the people of Pakistan as they stagger from the waters of that deluge that we all saw and which has not yet fully abated. The Pakistan Taliban and other formations of this Salafist, extremist trend is definitely one of them. And I saw something last week. I meant to mention it. I didn't get round to it. I saw something last week that I thought took the biscuit, even for these wicked people. A group of Shiite Muslim Pakistanis demonstrating for Palestine on the annual Al-Quds demonstration were blown up by these people and slaughtered in large numbers. Well, that really takes the biscuit. How anyone can think they're going to heaven after committing such a sinful, heinous crime is quite beyond me. But Jimmy, the American government is also bombing the people of Pakistan as they stagger from the waters of the floods. Every day there are drone attacks and other air assaults on Pakistani territory by the United States, which instead of sending aircraft and helicopters to rescue people from the floods, is instead killing them from the air as they struggle to emerge from those floods. Jimmy, thanks for that. I'm going on to a different subject. I want to talk about the proposed burning of the Quran down in Florida with Nelson in London. Nelson, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George. How are you?
Very well, sir. What would you like to say?
Yeah, thank you for a job well done. You are the voice of the people, and everybody is listening to you. We know you are fighting for the whole world, so you keep doing what you are doing.
Thank you, sir.
Kashmir, the reason why the United Kingdom government refused to speak on Kashmir is that if they speak on it, if they take side on Kashmir, the Indian government will never come to invest in this country. So because of that, the UK government is boycotting Kashmir issue. They don't want to go there. You can't go there.
And you're following the riots there in Kashmir. This issue of the burning of the Quran has been a spark.
I'm coming to that.
Which has exploded, hasn't it?
Yeah, the issue of the burning of the Quran.
Yeah.
Yeah, the burning of the Quran. What is left to the Americans? Let them continue to do what they are doing to the Muslims and to the Palestinians. No matter what, one day it will come to an end. As you are fighting, somebody else is going to come out and fight for the Muslims and the Palestine. And then we will see where we are going. Watch it. America is collapsing. So no matter what they are doing, they are going to collapse. Because what they are and the situation they are, the economy is zero. So they are collapsing. It's because
I don't think it's collapsing, Nelson. They're going through very severe economic problems, and they have deep political fissures in the body politic of the United States. There's no doubt that there's a huge right-wing campaign to make sure that President Obama is a one-term president, and God forbid, Muslims in America, and they're real and serious. But we shouldn't exaggerate them. Otherwise, they become a self-fulfilling prophecy. That's my view. Give me yours. Hit the phones. Let's stay in London and go to Yershaw to talk about the Middle East. Did I get your name right, my friend?
Hello, Buddha. How are you, my friend?
Very well. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Okay. Basically, I called last week, and then I was trying to comment about the burning of the Quran.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance, and thanks for the opportunity given to me today.
Okay.
First of all, about burning of the Quran, I mean, as we all Muslims know about the Quran, it's not a book being written by me or you. Now we living in the world. It's the book that given to messages by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got children about 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, have reading and can memorize the whole of Quran. So they can go ahead and do whatever they want to do. But Islam is Islam. And we as Muslims, we have to be sincere and honest to ourselves.
Well, the preacher in question who was going to burn the Quran regularly proselytizes amongst a congregation of as low as 12, and his maximum is 50. So I don't think Islam, or indeed, for that matter, mainstream Christianity, has much to fear from him. Thanks very much for the call. It wasn't a great line, but it was a good call. Let's stay in London. Talk to Alpha on Sarkozy. Alpha, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Good evening, George Galloway.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, it's concerning Sarkozy.
Yeah.
About his expulsion of Roma people.
Yeah.
And this is not the first time he has been doing it. He has been doing it to African also, and also the Algerians who have lived in the slums. So I believe the Europeans and the United Nations have to take up this matter seriously. If not, that is going to be another ethnic cleansing, I can say, or, you know, the guy seems to be a real racist. I just don't know what you say about this.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, of course. The European Commission have begun legal action against France for breach of the rules concerning the free movement of the populations of the European Union. Many people in France are deeply ashamed of what Sarkozy is doing. It's utterly transparent that he's doing it just to try to divert the attention of French voters who are increasingly angry and alienated from him. As a matter of fact, even on the right, Sarkozy is running second or third place as the likely candidate for president in 2 years' time. Now, the Roma people have suffered a lot, and not just in France. They suffer discrimination in Western Europe. They suffer worse than discrimination in some parts of Central and Eastern Europe, Alta. They're regularly murdered in some parts of Central and Eastern Europe. And of course, going right back to the Holocaust, it's often forgotten that while 6 million Jews were systematically massacred in the Holocaust, millions of Roma people were also systematically annihilated by the Hitlerites in the Holocaust. It's worth remembering that.
Yes, it's a fact.
Alta, thanks for your call. Now, Hakan in the UK wants to talk about both these topics. You'll have to be brief. Go ahead, Hakan. Yes, hello.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on a few topics. Two of them is the Quran burning and the Kashmir.
Yeah.
Basically, I want to start off with burning the Quran. Now, basically, in the Christians believe in Jesus Christ, and in the Quran, Prophet Jesus is mentioned 25 times, whereas Prophet Muhammad is mentioned 5 times. So not only they're degrading Islam, they're also degrading Christianity as a whole. And the second point is about Kashmir. Now, in 1947, when Pakistan and India were made, Kashmir was divided on purpose by the British to cause a fight between the Indians and the Pakistanis. So all this injustice is just taking place, and there's no end to it, and I don't think there will be until something is done seriously about this issue.
Well, we did have a moment in British politics, I know, because I was a part of it, where we actually won the British Labour Party conference to demanding that plebiscite in Kashmir. And the late Robin Cook, who became the Foreign Secretary just a few months after that, he went to India and he said that India had to solve the Kashmir crisis on the basis of the people's right to self-determination. We had a big lobby for Kashmir going in Britain. Then the Benazir government was toppled and a new regime came to power in Pakistan and blew the whole thing up by one means or another. But I'm determined that the issue of Kashmir will not be forgotten. Hakan, thanks for reminding us again about it. Let's go to Atta in London on the subject of the Holy Quran. Atta, welcome to the show, my friend.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum salam. Go ahead.
Peace be on you.
Thank you.
Yes, what we Muslim should realize, George, that Osama bin Laden is not representing the whole Muslim community, and same that pastor in Florida who was intending to ban the Quran, he's not representing the whole Christian community.
Quite.
And same whether it is Indian, Kashmiri, or French, or German, who awarded the cartoonist, Danish cartoonist. She is not representing the whole German community. We Muslims should realize that Quran says clearly, Allah says clearly in Quran in chapter 5, verse number 82, that the closest to the believers are those who says we are Christian, because they got amongst them priests and monks. So the most we put them in media or on the news, we make them hero. And with their action, they cannot divide us. And we should realize that Quran was not revealed in text to Prophet Muhammad by Jibreel alayhi salam. It was recited, and it is in our hearts, and nobody can remove it from our hearts.
Very
no
good
problem.
Point. Very good point, Atta. And the Quran wasn't burned, but even if it had been burned, and even if all Qurans were burned, there are hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people who know the Quran off by heart. And Islam is big enough to face a challenge by a pastor with a congregation of 12. That's absolutely correct. And the other point that you made is a very powerful one. It is a sin to punish innocent people for the crimes of guilty people. It's a sin to blame innocent people for the crimes of guilty people. And everybody should remember that when they're talking about the French, about the Germans, about the British, about the Americans. Let's talk to Khamis quickly in Oman. Khamis, welcome to the show, my friend.
Yes, good evening. How are you, George?
Good, sir. Go ahead.
Good. First of all, I must tell you, my wife and my sister-in-law are very, very fond of you, and they give you your regards.
Thank you very much. I'll tell you what, Khamis, because I want to talk to you from Oman, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line, and we'll come back to you after a short break now for the news headlines. I promise you, you don't want to miss the second half of Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, the voice of the voiceless. Back in a minute.
top stories this hour at Press TV. Police say a rocket has struck the Afghan capital, Kabul. The attack comes on the same day that Afghans are going to the polls to elect a new parliament. The Taliban have threatened to disrupt the elections. Police believe the offensive was a warning shot for militants trying to scare people from going to the polls. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says final preparations are underway for the resumption of talks with the West on Tehran's nuclear energy program. Ahmadinejad has urged the involved parties to set a goal for the upcoming negotiations and be committed to a framework of mutual respect and justice. New demonstrations have been held across Iran to protest against the sacrilege of the Holy Book of Islam in the United States. In Tehran, protesters took to the streets after Friday prayers, condemning the desecration of the Quran on the anniversary of the September 11 attacks in the U.S. A bomb blast in Iraq's northern Kirkuk province has killed 4 civilians and injured 8 others. A policeman was also wounded during the explosion. Officials say a booby-trapped bicycle went off near a police patrol. An army officer has been killed in a separate bomb attack in western Baghdad. A new report shows U.S. households' net worth plummeted during the second quarter of this year. The ailing real estate market and sinking share prices are believed to have caused the decline. So far, the net worth has dropped more than 20% since its pre-recession peak. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez insists that he will not accept the U.S.-designated ambassador to Caracas, Larry Palmer. Chavez says Palmer is not suitable for the job because of comments he made about the Venezuelan Air Force. Chavez says he does not care whether Washington sends an ambassador at all. Australia's Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd has met with U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in Washington. Clinton and U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates will head to Australia in November. They are slated to host strategic and security talks aimed at strengthening the alliance between the two countries. Chile has begun celebrating the 200th anniversary of its independence ahead of time. Chilean President Sebastián Piñera hosted a ceremony inaugurating a giant flag at the presidential palace in the capital, Santiago. Chileans celebrate their independence from Spain on the 18th of September.
Welcome back to Comment. We're discussing the shameful behavior of President Sarkozy towards the Roma people. We're talking about the eruption of protest in occupied Kashmir and how on that tinderbox the threat to desecrate the Quran appears to have set a wildfire running that the Indian government is going to find difficult to control. The Indian government has just tried to shut down Press TV in occupied Kashmir, but they're all watching it anyway. We were talking before the break, and we're going back now to our good friend Khamis in Oman. Khamis, welcome back to the show, my friend.
So people, I think, as a result, will, inshallah, embrace the Quran, and inshallah, it will go on and on, stronger and stronger. Please, this is my views on this particular subject. I don't know what you think about it.
Well, I think you're right that the overall impact, the net impact, if you like, of the scandal of the proposed burning of the Quran in Florida will be that more Americans will read the Quran and probably more of them will embrace Islam. I think you're absolutely right. Khamis, please tell your friends in Oman that we want more viewers from there and more calls of your standard. Please, thanks very much indeed. Let's go to Oxfordshire in England and talk to Mohammed about Iraq. Mohammed, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, Mr. Galloway. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. And first of all, I say your program is excellent.
Thanks.
And all the programs on Press TV are really very, very nice indeed.
It's doing very well.
First time caller.
Viewership is increasing massively.
It's actually giving a lot of information from all the programs, they produce, and all the people, they're really very, very good workers. They're very hardworking people. You can see that. And I actually got one question which is sticking in my mind for a very long time. When the Americans first moved into Iraq, with their coalition forces, there was, on the news I saw, there was about 3 to 5 trucks reversed to the Bank of Baghdad, the central bank of Baghdad, like their state bank sort of thing. And, and they load them. They were saying that they are loading these trucks from the bank and heard no more since. I wonder what it was I don't know anything.
Well,
about
billions of dollars of treasure of all kinds, foreign currency, gold, artifacts, ancient historic treasures were looted from Iraq under the noses of the occupation force, and in some cases with the collusion, and indeed in some cases explicitly by members of the U.S. occupation force. And there have been criminal cases which have established that. Thanks very much, Mohammed, for bringing that up. Let's go to Sami in Hull on the peace talks. Sami, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Can I just begin by echoing what a number of callers have said tonight about the excellent work that you and Press TV are doing?
Thank you, sir.
I myself have been educated tonight with regard to the situation in Kashmir, just by what you said on the TV. Now, to go back to this issue of the so-called peace talks, which, if I believe, if I understand correctly, began in 1992. That was when they had the Madrid conference.
Yes.
Under George Bush the Fourth.
Yes.
And
culminating in Oslo in 1994, 16 years ago.
Absolutely correct. Now, since that time, we're talking 16 years later, we haven't seen any progress in the situation in Palestine.
On the contrary, Sami. Not one centimeter of Palestine has been liberated, but tens of thousands of new illegal Zionist settlement houses have been planted. An apartheid wall has been built. Ethnic cleansing has proceeded. Demolition of Palestinian houses has proceeded. The massacres in Gaza have proceeded. So actually the opposite of progress has been made.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know whether your callers or whether your audience heard you when you were responding to, when you were speaking on this subject earlier, but you seemed to be suggesting that these so-called talks are a diversionary measure.
I'm beginning to worry about that, Sami, yes.
Yes, that what is really going on here is that the Zionists are trying to placate the Arabs whilst they effect an attack against Iran.
That's what I'm worried about, yes.
Iran seems to be in the bullseye at the moment, seems to be the target. And I think it just makes sense, as the military commanders, Israeli military commanders will know, that it doesn't make sense to fight a war on two fronts. So it seems to me that what is going on here, as you seem to be suggesting, and as I have read online, as has been suggested, is that the Israelis are trying to placate or to chill out the Arabs whilst they go after the Iranians. That is all this peace talks is designed to achieve.
Well, Sami, I should say that I don't know that that's what's happening, and I'm not at all sure that that's what's happening, but I'm beginning to worry and suspect that that's what's happening. Actually, we could be seeing a rerun of the immediate pre-Iraq war history, where bogus peace talks are started and sand is thrown in the eyes, they hope, of Arab public opinion. Certainly, some of the Arab regimes are not difficult to blind, being blind to begin with. And public opinion in the West is told that, well, at least there's an effort being made for peace in the on the Israel-Palestine track, at the same time as the demonization of another country may be taking us into very dangerous waters. And I'm very worried about that. And as I contemplate the ludicrously improbable likelihood of anything coming out of these so-called peace talks, I'm beginning to wonder if they have another purpose. And I'm sorry if that's depressing for people, but that's my genuine fear and my genuine feeling. What do you think, Sammy?
Well, I totally agree. I truly believe that that is exactly what is taking place. I think most observers of current affairs in the world would know that this problem, this Palestinian-Israeli problem, has been going on for the last, 60, 70 years? Ever since
62 years, yes.
62 years, when they drove the Palestinians out of their own homeland.
Yes.
Now, in all that time, we haven't had a solution. Yes, rather, as you have rightly pointed out, the condition under which the Palestinians have been living has been growing worse, has grown worse. So when they come up to us telling us about peace talks, I mean, one has to take that with a pinch of salt. One has to be very skeptical about the probability that those peace talks will yield anything concrete, anything meaningful. Now, with regards to the question of the deportation of the Roma people in France, well, I mean, there is a very strong anti-Muslim sentiment in the West today, isn't there? And as such, you will find that... I lost my thread there. I think the point I was trying to make is there's a very strong xenophobic
anti-immigrant.
Anti-immigrant
feeling,
sentiment, yeah. in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So when you find France, for instance, banning Muslim women from wearing burqas in public, or where you hear of Switzerland banning the construction of minarets anywhere in Switzerland, and when you also find this stereotype of Muslims who are basically regarded as potential terrorists, each and every single Muslim on the planet is considered a terrorist, at least here in the West, they are in Europe and in America, then the question of someone burning the Quran or not doesn't arise. I mean,
Sammy, it's been a great call, I must say. Best call of the night, best call of many a night. Thanks very much indeed. Sorry to cut you off, but I've just got so many people trying to get through. Let's go to London, talk to Anwar on Kashmir. Anwar, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, George. Good evening and assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum salam. Nice to hear your voice again.
How are you, sir? Okay.
Good, thanks.
George, as you just said at the very beginning, you know, very rightly pointed out the resolution of Kashmir, you know, plebiscite for Kashmiri people. It's a very, what a coincidence, George, that, you know, almost 62 years the Palestine problem and almost 63, 64 years the Kashmir problem.
And the British Empire at the heart of both of them.
What a strange coincidence. I think India is becoming the poodle of American and the Israelis, you know, like, as we know, many other people have had become poodle and created wars and destroyed human life. George, before I give you an idea for this dispute between India and Pakistan of Kashmir, the same gentleman, Sir Zafrullah Khan, who was the first foreign minister of Pakistan, fought the case for Palestine, and he was the main person in the United Nations who passed this resolution of plebiscite for Kashmiris. This is a historical fact which I wanted to point out.
Well, you've educated all of us, Anwar. I have to press on because I've got to go to Italy now and talk to Martin on talks. Martin. Hello, sir. Hello, Italy.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah. I'm so happy I get connected to you today. I've been trying by all means to get you online.
Okay, now you've got me. Go ahead.
Fortunately enough, today when I was here when you started the program, so I saw how I can reach you. All right, so what I have to say is this about this peace talk of about Palestine and Israel. All right, for me, having a peace, a Palestinian state is what most people want. But the Europeans and American leaders are not in anything good to make this come true. To me, they know what to do, and the so-called peace talk means to give the Israelis time to kill Palestinians and occupy their land.
Well, I'll tell you what, time is what they're always playing for. There's always a process. It's an endless process, but it's not a peace process because there's never any peace. Thanks very much for that call. I've got so many calls, but I've also got an absolute mountain of emails, so we better take a couple of those on the comment wall. Remember, we want your country, your point of view up here on the comment wall, and all the emails will be read, even if they can't all be broadcast. Lishma from Madrid in Spain, I think the Middle East peace talks are not realistic because people did not vote for Mahmoud Abbas, but they voted for Hamas. Well, in fact, they voted for both of them. So why isn't Mrs. Clinton talking to Hamas? Quite. What kind of democracy does the US want? Maybe they don't like beards. Well, I don't know. I'm quite popular in the United States. I don't think it's about the sartorial cut of the jib of Hamas. It's about the political line that they maintain. Both Mahmoud Abbas and Hamas were both elected, but Mahmoud Abbas's mandate has in fact run out. That's the point I was trying to make earlier. Let's go back to the comment wall, take another email. This one is from Dean in London. The Quran burning is only going to make this religious divide worse. You show the way the people in Pakistan have been protesting and rioting. That would never happen if the Bible got burned. This whole saga is dangerous. Well, there would be people like me, and I think all the Muslims in the country, who would be very upset if the Bible was being burned. I think many Christians would be upset if the Bible was burned. But it can hardly be blamed on the Muslims that Christian people do not appear to be as concerned about their religion as Muslim people are. Nobody should insult anybody else's religion. Nobody should desecrate things that are held to be sacred by anybody else in their religion. People's religion is at the heart of their identity, and you're asking for trouble, and we've got enough trouble in the world. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to Glasgow.
Thank you so much, Mr. Galloway.
Marvelous to hear my friends in Texas. Make sure you tell all your neighbors and friends to tune in to Press TV.
That's what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I can, I'm trying to put the word out. Press TV fans are stretching tremendously, word is moving.
Yes.
So don't worry, Mr. Galloway, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
I'm here, right here, Texas City, where your BP refinery is.
Oh, yes.
So
it's not mine, I promise you. It's not mine. It's not ours. It's not even British.
I understand totally. The thing is, the reason of my call is that Kashmir is crying very badly, sir. We all, Pakistani, Iranian, all of us, we have a responsibility to help our brothers. Right now, Pakistan is in a chaotic situation, and Pakistan is not in a dead situation to go ahead and open another door for their problem. So what all Muslims need to is stand by Kashmiri people. Right now, they need more than ever.
Very well said, Zulfikar. Couldn't have put it better myself. Let's go to Durham in England to Abdul to talk about President Sarkozy. Abdul, welcome to the show. Go ahead,
hello,
sir.
Hello, George. Thank you.
Welcome.
I was just wanting to mention, after Jacques Chirac, what a disappointment Sarkozy has been.
Chirac was a tall man, and Sarkozy is in every single way a very, very small one.
Exactly, and how Jacques Chirac kept France out of both the Gulf Wars, and the French people, they did not vote for Ségolène Royal, a genuine French woman with the connections to the great continent of Africa, but instead they chose Sarkozy.
I don't think they'll choose him again, do you?
France.
I don't think they're going to choose him again next time.
I know, but and it must be a great country because they chose the son of a penniless Hungarian emigrant to the office of the president of France.
Well, that's a good thing that he was a son of a penniless Hungarian immigrant. That's a good thing. That's not something that should be held against him. Let's go to Saudi Arabia. talk to Shamim on the issue of the Quran. Shamim, welcome to the show, my friend. Yes, go ahead.
Calling from Saudi Arabia, I just wanted to say that it is shameful to burn any religious book, yes, irrespective of whether it is Quran, Bible, or the Jew holy book. I think we people should learn now to be more tolerant towards each other and respect each other's faith, rather than going out and burning Quran like I saw on CNN, one guy tearing the pages of Quran and burning it. This is only going to cause retaliation from the Muslim side.
Yes, and we've got enough trouble in the world already. The visit to Britain this week of His Holiness the Pope from Rome has concentrated on this point, that it's about time people started showing religion a bit more respect. And if they can't respect it, at least don't denigrate and heap insults upon it. Let's go to Essex, talk to Diana on the issue of the Roma people. Diana, welcome to the show.
Hiya, George. Thank
Hi.
You. I used to live in London. I was there at Hyde Park with the rallies about Iraq, and I've still got my banner, Freedom for Palestine. But living in London, and I grew up, well, I didn't grow up, I saw the Roma gypsies, and all they ever did was beg. Their babies were drugged up. They used to, so I can quite understand where Sarkozy is coming from.
But Diana, you can't, I mean, what we're going to do, there are problems of begging, there are problems of antisocial behaviour by some Roma, but there's also a lot of begging and antisocial behaviour from the non-Roma. We can't tar 16 million people with that brush, but if they do have problems, we need to help them with their problems, not just shunt them from one place to another illegally. They've got to go somewhere. They're human beings. They're God's children, just like you and me.
I understand that. Oh, yeah, I understand that. I mean, what he's doing, I think, is quite disgusting.
Good call, Diana. Thanks. I've got to press on because I've got someone in New York. Pony, it says there. I hope it's Pony. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam.
My question is, the time President Bush is president, he was saying that he's going to arrest Bin Laden. So up to now, there's no result about that.
No, and it's a bit strange, that, isn't it?
And when are they going to end up that war in Afghanistan?
Well, it is a bit strange that their former agent, Osama bin Laden, who began his life in Afghanistan working for the Americans, boasted that he was responsible for the mass murder in New York, in your city, on 9/11. And yet, all these years later, 9 years later, still, he's at large. It's all a bit funny, that, if you ask me. Let's take some more calls. The issues that we're discussing are the Sarkozy's treatment of the Roma people, the situation in Kashmir, where the desecration, threatened desecration of the Quran has apparently been a spark to ignite a massive conflagration in a territory that was already a powder keg. We're talking also about the doomed peace talks that took place in Washington and moved to Sharm el-Sheikh and now appear to have sunk below the waves. And I've given you my opinion that I'm beginning to wonder just what that's all about. Have I got time for another call? Let me take Asif quickly. Go on, Asif.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Quickly.
Hello.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Galloway.
Good afternoon, sir.
I just wanted to comment about the ongoing situation in Kashmir Valley.
Well, I'll tell you what, Asif, you're in Canada, and I'm sorry about that. You'll have to call me back next week. I've run out of time. It's been marvelous. Until next week, God willing.
Zero, zero.
رژیم ایران غنی سازی رو شروع کرده.
Somebody told on there was an Iranian group that brought forth the information.
That was the kiss of death. Rajavi took it.
Our main policy was trying to frighten West and Western politicians from Iran.
Now the second project, the Arab top secret project.
This was a stunt. This was information laundering.
Now, the question is, did that information, was it sourced by the NKO itself?
تو کتابش به صراحت اشاره میکنه منابع اطلاعاتی مجاهدین اسرائیل هست.
Espionage. A struggle for survival.